Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to take up for where we left off today. But I'm going to read the first five verses here for you, for that's where our text started. And then we will get on to the message tonight. So 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5 and have a word of prayer and then get right back into our message. Here we read, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. You know, anybody that preaches the word, whether they're evangelist, a missionary, a pastor, ought to know that their call is not daddy, it's not mama, it's not some other guy, it is God that gives the call. And that comes from your personal relationship and listening to him talk to you through his word by his Holy Spirit. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. Now, let me make that clear. Timothy is not his biological son. As a matter of fact, Timothy was the son of a Greek. And because of that, he was not a circumcised man. And in Acts, it talks about they were wondering if they should circumcise Timothy because his mother was a Jew, his grandmother was a Jew, but not his daddy. Okay, now, we're not told if his daddy was saved or not. All we're told is he's a Greek. But what I'm trying to say is that he's looking at Timothy as a son. Someone that he's dealt with, somebody he's taught, somebody he's tried to work with as a man would work with a son, teaching him the everything to know about the business they may own, the business they may have, and trying to train them up in the way. The farmers used to do that with their sons. And so it's just one of those things. I'm just saying that Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, when you're talking to another saved person, you just don't have to say my Christ, my Lord. You can say our Christ, our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. That's always happens. You know, in the church, it's a fundamental church, this has happened over the years, I could name churches right now, where a fundamental pastor pastored for years and all that, they were independent, they were true to the word. And then somebody else comes in, and all of a sudden, the standards go out the window. Even the Bible version may change on down the line. Those things happen. They come along. And so he's saying, don't let them do that just because I'm not here. I've gone to Macedonia, but now you're charged with holding the fort, you might say. That's his charge. So he says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. In other words, we're to edify them, build them up in the Word of God, build them up in faith. That's why a preacher should preach the Word. Okay? And so, and he says, so do, so do. Now that's a really, it just looks like two small, two-letter words, you know, but the so do is really a strong exclamation. This is important. Do it. That's the idea there. Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, not fake. Not just some emotional thing. No. Real faith. Living by the Word of God. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray now as we go into this message tonight. I know that as we started out today, Lord, we was looking at the effect of effective motherhood. And really, Lord, this is the effect of effective Christianity on the home and in the life of a local church. In the life of believers. So, Lord, as we go back into this message, and Lord, we're hoping, Lord, and trusting you, Lord, just to do what I can't do is just give understanding to each heart. When the devil tries to throw up something of a issue of arguing in the heart and mind, may they recognize that that is the devil, and that you would also rebuke that devil from misleading them into ways opposed to the Word of God. Now, Father, we ask you to glorify your name through what happens through the rest of this message. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Okay, now this morning, we were just getting there on verse 4 when our time had ran out on us. But we had made some, we'd given you some principles of motherhood, and really it's principles of Christianity. A mother, for example, protects and prevents from harm. And really, when you think of what just is written here to Timothy, that's what's happening. Protecting the local church, protecting them from that harm that can come in. And you're protecting not only from what can harm, you might say, but also you're protecting them from perversion. The perversion of your children. Now, there's been too many churches perverted in doctrine. And now, it's even a greater shame when we get a children's church, when we have a Christian school, and when you have parents, suddenly they're not going to church like they did once. Suddenly they're not having Bible in their home and things of that nature. And they are the worst enemy of their own children that they love, and they don't know it because they're not protecting their children and seeking to prevent from what can pervert and harm that child. So verse 4 says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. Now, too often people look at faith as just saying, oh, that's just believing so hard that it comes about. No. Many times, most of the time, when you see talking about faith in the Bible, it's trusting God to move ahead and do what you do based on the instruction of the Word of God, and what you're moving ahead on in no way contradicts the Word of God, goes against it in any way, does not break its principles, does not break its ethics, does not break its righteousness and true holiness. You see, that is faith. So do not make... Well, let me put it this way. I'm going to make a woke reference here, okay? And I'm not doing this to be funny. I'm doing this to show the ignorance. I have never in my lifetime, seen or heard of a daddy nursing the baby. That doesn't happen. Okay, that doesn't happen. And what I'm trying to say here, we're told in the Bible that God made them male and female, and you need to raise them that way. If you've got a son, raise him as a boy. If you have a daughter, raise her as a girl. Now let me tell you about one of the things that is a pet peeve with me. And grandmothers, sometimes you babysit the kids, so don't do this either, okay? If you've got a toddler boy, don't give him a doll baby to play with, okay? And if you're expecting an apology for that, I'm expecting an apology for you for thinking of that. Now listen. That is wrong, that is evil, that is dumb to do that to a boy, or try to dress your girl up like a boy and make her do the things of a boy instead of letting her learn how to be a feminine and yet pure girl. And so, parents, that's just a warning out there. And I think that makes sense, because if you just have any kind of sense that who created the heaven and the earth, and he made them male and female, created he them, is the way the Bible says it. That's the way it is. That's exactly the way it is. Now, nowhere, absolutely nowhere, are we told in the Bible that God messed up. And so some of those babies born were really that, although they were born a girl, there should have been a man. And although they were born a man, there should have been a girl. That has never been. And so to all the liberals out there, follow the science. Now, what they're born is what they're born. You don't need to have a surgery to try to change their gender. That is wrong. That is wrong. And don't encourage your children to listen to such garbage. You know, let me just say this off the bat. And grandparents, I'm saying this to you as well, and I'm a grandparent. If you've got to help your children to have their children in Christian schools. As a matter of fact, I'd go further to say in Christian colleges that are true to the Word. Christian colleges that are true to the Word, Christian schools that are true to the Word, instead of public universities, they say, well, the education is so much better than the ones you're going to get at a Christian school or a Christian college. Yeah. Guess where the woke culture is taught and started from? It wasn't the Christian fundamental Christian schools or fundamental Christian colleges. It was from these colleges, these public universities that are supposed to know so much better than you. Know so much better than the Bible, to know so much better than God. And if they can't tell the difference between a boy and a girl, why in the world would you send your children there? So, you know, think about it. It's just common sense. Now, if you love those kids, I think you'd want to do the best for them, and that's really doing the best for them. Doing the best for your children. Now, look. They said, well, I put them in a Christian school through high school, then they graduate, I'm going to send them off to a secular college because you're going to get it so much better. Uh-huh. You realize that your child, even graduating from OCA, where they're taught biblical principle and they're taught Bible, they're talking about a Christian worldview. I mean, you can go on down the line of what they're taught. But even though they are there, when they go to a secular college, university, there's going to be professors there, PhDs, skilled in debate. And your child's mind is not on that level yet to rebuke or to really argue sensibly against that filth. Now, there's been too many over the years good Christian children that went to those things and they come back different people. And then your grandchildren end up in hell. So again, they're not on that level to be able to really debate with that PhD. They're not there. And by the way, those PhDs will give some strong facts and figures that have never been proven and are not right. But your child's not equipped to be able to argue against it because it sounds so intellectual. They may say a Harvard study found this. And then over in England at the college over there, they studied this and they found this, these studies. And then we go to France and then they go to all these places where these things have been proven in universities and colleges, men of higher learning. My Lord is omniscient. He's all-knowing. They can't match him. We have the Word of God. Stick to it. It's the truth. It is right. God's Word is God's Word, and it should never change in our own heart and mind. But you see, they can deceive and indoctrinate them, and you'll see yourself losing your child, although they may hold some respect when they're around you. But what does it mean to hold respect that once they're away from you, they're doing the opposite? They just don't do the opposite in front of you. Now, I love God's design of husband and wife. It's a highly honorable thing. And by the way, motherhood is a very highly honorable thing. Okay? It's an honorable thing. And I hope today that we are able to build a resolve in each Christian, each of us, to build that resolve. You heard what Brother Randy told us about. And by the way, let me tell you something. There's a whole lot that he did not tell you. It gets worse. It gets worse. A whole lot he didn't tell you. And your public universities and your public school boards, so forth, are wanting to push these things across there. And they look at you as an ignorant savage to believe in Christianity. Look, we want to build resolve, and to accomplish that, both mother and father, you need to get even more indoctrinated than just besides church. But in your home, Bible study, studying the Bible, asking God to reveal it to you as you read, help you to understand it as you read. And then just really get so indoctrinated by the Holy Spirit into the Word of God that you can protect and provide what a parent should protect and provide. Protect them from anything. Protect them from anything and provide a way through the Word of God that will help them and keep them from creating a passage in your child for debauchery. So drill it into them. Be pure. For the time of temptation, when you aren't around, is going to come. We told you that this morning. And you're not going to be there to protect them. And what you've drilled into them will be there as a testimony when they're involved in that sin. So again, use the Bible. You know, there's some good children's Bible stories. I'm not against those, that they use Bible stories and actual Bible stories and for small children. And it's good if they're right. But you know, as an adult, you need to live by a schedule. And the thing you should schedule first is the Word of God in the morning. The Word of God in prayer. Why first thing in the morning? Because you're driving down the road and your mind wanders all over the place. Have your mind in the Word of God. Have your mind there. Think, how would I teach what I just read? How could I teach it to my children? Lord, show me how to teach it to my children. Show me how to help my children to understand. Look, we realize, you know, you have your children, and you just think of them being around your house for the rest of their lives. That doesn't happen. They may come back to your house, but they bring others with them. You know? And then that group, if you live long enough, brings another group with them. You're having to maintain a job just to buy Christmas gifts. But what I'm saying is that as you teach your children, teach them how you taught your children, and they should know that they may teach their children in the same manner, and yet they'll have to study the Word of God to get God's direction from the Lord, not from the daddy or the mother, but from the Lord when they have children. You see, God gave mom and dad a great responsibility in training those children in the way they should go. But when those children leave home and they begin to have children, they need to teach them in the way they should go. But as all grandparents learn, somewhere along the line, we get to be babysitters. You know, I shouldn't tell this, but I'll tell it anyway. I've had people move from up north, come down here, and they'll get to missing their grandkids. They'll get to missing the family. And after about 2 years, they move back. And then about a year or two later, I'll see them coming back in. Hey, are you just visiting? No, we moved back. Oh, I said, great, why? Well, I said, we're glad to have you, but why'd you move back? Because we remembered after we was up there why we moved. Now, it's kind of funny like that, but really, it's great when you have your grandchildren to represent Jesus Christ to them, to talk to them about the things of the Lord. And grandmothers, and we've been talking about this Mother's Day, you're usually the one that has a greater opportunity than grandfather does. Now, that's not lessening grandfather's responsibilities. I mean, if I got the little one, he's a boy, we're going to be wrestling on the floor. We're going to be doing things, just having fun as boys have fun. Nanas don't wrestle on the floor. But you know what? As those kids grow older, grandpa is second by a long shot. I mean, you get married, man, you get married, you're number one with your wife. Then that first child comes, you're number two. And as they keep on coming, you keep going down the line. Then grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Right now with children and great-grandchildren, I'm about number 21 or 22. Now, what I'm saying, though, is you can still have an effect on your family. Let that be very important. Be committed to it, because you see just some things that Brother Osborne said today are just some things that should tell us how important this is. It should tell us about the example of where we go and the things that we do. And so again, teach and lead them. A good mother, since this is Mother's Day, but a father too, but a good mother is a professor. That is, she's a teacher. Verse 6 of our text says this, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. Now, I've watched over the years where parents had some strong standards. I mean, you know what kind of music we have here. And I can remember back over the years where with our music, fundamental, still had some people come to me and just say, preacher, our music's too liberal. I'm thinking, whoa. They think it's just too liberal. Then their children made friends with other children that either go to the charismatic church or some church that's gone fully contemporary. And they said, well, they love the Lord. Oh, they love the Lord too. And boy, that child will talk about when they come over to their house about the Lord, how good the Lord is to them and all that. And then they get involved in it. And for too long, they're leaving the church because we're too legalistic. Isn't it interesting how they changed? What does that tell you? They weren't really their principals at all. Their children were their principals. No, you're to teach. You're the professor to teach your children those biblical principles that do not change. Therefore, don't change or you're making your teaching a lie. So stick to the Word of God. Now, he also mentioned here about these that would take them another way. And we mentioned this morning about the Judaizers. Now, I think it's great. Those Judaizers became part of the local church, but there's some things they didn't leave. They got saved, but they also needed to be taught. Even though they may have had a greater knowledge than most of the people back in that day did in the local church of the Old Testament. Now, the Old Testament's all they had to begin with. I mean, not all the New Testament was completed when Timothy receives this letter. They were taught. As a matter of fact, in Acts, I believe it's chapter 17, verse 11, or 18, verse 11, Paul says the people at Berea were more noble than those at Thessalonica, in that they searched the scriptures to see if it was so, what he was teaching. By the way, this preacher, I'm not offended if you search the scriptures to see if what I'm saying is true. Not offended at all. Or whoever stands in this pulpit. Now, sometimes you can sit back there and hear, and it goes against your grain. Now, I've got to find something that just shows him he's wrong. No, but sometimes the devil can put something in your heart. But sometimes a preacher can be wrong. Okay? And so you try to correct it in love. But it's great. Those Jews did get saved. But again, they have to be taught. They have to be built up in the Word. Now, mothers, in the home, you're usually in the best position to keep that going. Although, fathers, don't neglect your family altar with your children. We need to do that with their children as well if we have that opportunity. Now, I've had a couple of my kids that have lived with us when they were moving from one home to another home. And there's something I didn't know. If you're going to disagree with me, it's fine to disagree with me, okay? I don't mind if you're wrong. no, but what I'm going to say is this. I told my sons, I said, look, you're their daddy, not me. You're the spiritual leader of the home. That's where God placed them. So you're going to have family altar with your family. I'm not going to lead it. I'm not going to do it. It's going to be you. Now, you say, would you do it? Yeah, I would do it. But I wouldn't do it with them there, with the parent there that's supposed to be the leader. Okay? I want their children to see their dad as a spiritual leader in the home. Amen. Okay? And that's the way it should be. Now, there are critical thinkers out there who will tell you, well, our children, as they grow up, there are things that they may do, but they're not that bad. So don't be legalistic and say things that might make them feel bad. You know what? If it makes them feel bad, maybe they'll get it right. When they realize sin is sin, it's wrong, maybe they'll get it right. Now, what they do today is they try to make people laugh and have the so-called good time and say, now, what was wrong with all of that? Well, there's nothing wrong with laughing. As a matter of fact, the Bible says laughter is a medicine. But you don't laugh at pornography, do you? You don't laugh at filthy jokes. No. You don't laugh at that which really goes against the Word of God. Okay. Yeah, laughter may be a medicine, but it's not a medicine. Instead, it's a drug that kills when it's applied to the wrong things. So those are truths of God's Word as righteousness and holiness. It takes a commitment to God first. And His truth must be demonstrated in your life. Now, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. As I told you this morning, that's been misinterpreted in so many different ways. As a matter of fact, I did a booklet on that. If you go on our website and look at booklets by Andy Bloom, you'll see that one of those is In the Way They Should Go, and that's all about that with your children, training them up in the way they should go. It's there. It's free to read. You know, it's not for sale. It's just there for, to read. All the booklets are there free to read. You just got to download it and read it. But you're raising children, a mother. A lot of times grandmothers end up having to raise the children. It doesn't hurt to be instructed in the way that you should teach their children in the way they should go. Don't miss that your life should demonstrate to your children and show your love for God, show your obedience to His word, and show them that it's not a bad thing, that it's a great thing. Now, I want you to see this demonstrated, what I've said so far, both this morning and this evening. We're going to go over one book to 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 3. Now, I go 3 through 8, okay? Listen as I read this. Verse 3. I thank God, whom I served from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. You do that at home, but once those children are gone from home, they have grandchildren, then your grandchildren are getting married, pray for them by name. I'll just give you an example. Listen, I'm not the best example. I'm just using this as an example of something I did. But when I noticed that some of my grandsons were dating a specific girl, they're getting near graduation, I started praying for that girl. I knew the grandsons, they needed all the prayer they could get. But no, really, I prayed for them by name. Even though they weren't married, they may never get married, I thought. But I'm going to pray for them by name. And really, your son, your daughter dating another person, pray for that other person by name. Pray for them. Just like he said, night and day. Verse 4 says, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call into remembrance unfeigned faith that is in thee. Now here comes the point. Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. Now some people like to give their boys Bible names, you know, and that, but boy, there's two great women right there that if we're going to name a daughter, might be a good name to give. Lois and Eunice, and I am persuaded is in thee also. Okay, the grandmother Lois and the mother Eunice. The grandmother taught Eunice. She just drilled into her the word of God. We're not told about their husbands. We're just told about them. Lois, obviously she had a husband because she had Eunice. Eunice had a husband. We know about him. He was a Greek. He has Timothy. But obviously, because there's a dad that just didn't take that leadership, they had to become the spiritual leaders in the home. And they taught their children. They showed them the word of God. They taught to them the word of God, but they demonstrated it with their life. And he said, I am persuaded it's in thee also. Now we look at sometimes looking back, as a matter of fact, we was talking about that today. I was looking at my dad and just said, I use the illustration today of dad's belt saying, I need thee every hour. And about all the family could agree with me on that, okay? And they said, you needed it. But, you know, he had that thing that we knew how he would react to situations. Don't go there, this way he'd react. Mom, she was the comforter. And yet, she's a comforter without compromising the faith and righteousness. She never said, well, that's all right. You didn't. It's not that bad. I never heard those words from her. Never. And so, you may have a Timothy that you're in your household and you have no idea. On the other hand, you may have a Eunice in your household. A Eunice and a Lois trained a great man of God that has two books of the Bible addressed to him, commending him in those books of his faith, of his walk with God. So verse 6 says, therefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. He's telling Timothy this, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And of course, we do that here when we ordain somebody for the ministry. We lay our hands on them. We pray the ordination. But mom and dad, for that matter, you put your hands on those children from the day they're born. As another good mother, Hannah, raised her child to give it to the Lord. All for Jesus, I surrender, really meant something to Hannah. It meant something to these two ladies. Verse 7 said, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. See, there are parents that fear to have their children in a Christian college, or they fear to have them in a Christian school because, man, they're going to come home and tell them how wrong I am. Maybe some man sits at home and says, I can't drink my beer in front of them without them getting on. I'm going to have to spank them and everything else. No, get rid of that beer. There's nothing good said about it in the Bible. Get rid of it. But you see, sometimes they fear to say anything because my children aren't going to like me. My children aren't going to love me. That spirit of fear comes from the devil, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power. That is authority. That's what the word power has in the Bible. The authority. And of love. And of sound mindedness. The things of God are very sound. They're very sound. The heroes of heaven. And we say, well, what are you talking about, the heroes of heaven? Well, the people. There's some people who will be in heaven. For example, in Matthew chapter 5, talks about people that are make false accusations against them, but they remain true to the word. They don't quit. They've said all manner of evil against them, that all these things that have happened to them, but they don't quit on the Lord. And the Lord says, great is your reward in heaven. I always found that interesting. In Genesis, when he made the heavens and the earth, everything he made, he says, and the Lord saw that it was good. He saw that it was good. But when the Lord says something is great, wow, we haven't seen that yet. That matches with the good. If it's going to be better than the good, it's going to be good. Those are going to be heroes of heaven. Some are going to be ashamed at his appearing. They'll have not one reward. Just saved so as by fire. And so, when you think of that, the heroes of heaven are going to be those that endured, that didn't even allow family to keep them from staying true to the Word of God, that stood for the faith. They perhaps suffered, but fear of man was not greater than the fear of God. And so they endured, they're faithful unto death. They endured suffering. And yet, how did they do that? They believed the word. Therefore, they had eternity set in their heart. Based on the word of God, what's going to happen? All of that, they believed it, knew that it would be before the judgment seat of Christ one day, and they stood. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verses 17 and 18. And of children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You know, one of the great things, I know you've heard me say this before, but we don't see the sacrifice of the Lord, of Jesus Christ. You know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three divine persons and one divine essence. But the person of Jesus Christ took on flesh for you and us, that he might die for our sin, pay the penalty in full, and raise from the dead. He did that for us. Amen. The Bible says that when we are raptured, we'll have a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. You know what that tells you? He's still in a human body. He who is a spirit, God is a spirit, took on a body, and he'll be in that body forever. A glorified body. But the great thing about that is he remained in a body because the Father said he made him heir of all things, and we are joint heirs with him. Now think of that love, just not of the Father, but of the Son and the Holy Spirit for us. And so he says, and children, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. So you take a stand for the Lord and you suffer for it. It's all right. You know, you have those people that are saying those things. I mean, you know, you look at Matthew 5, 10 through 12 and see all those things they do to him. He says, blessed are ye when men speak all matter of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. People reject you and they get upset with you because you've taken a stand for the Lord. My goodness, if anything, you need to give them a thank you note. They've just built your reward in heaven. Although they may not be too happy about that at the moment. But he says that we will be glorified together with him. And then he adds this in verse 18, for I reckon, that's some southern language, isn't it? For I reckon, man. I reckon so. Well, for I reckon, it's actually a bookkeeping term, okay? But I reckon that the suffering of this present time, and by the way, when he says suffering, he actually said sufferings of this present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, if you've ever been ridiculed, mocked, lied about for your faith in Christ and the stands that you've taken, and people have just said all manner of things against you, but you've stayed with it, as bad as that, it does feel bad. It does feel bad. Especially when your intents are to please God and bring others to him. But it still hurts. It's bad. But whatever you suffer from that, Paul was beheaded. He's the one that the Lord used to write the book of Romans, and he was beheaded. It's like, that's not worthy. In the greatness of that suffering, the greatness of those, the suffering, those that were fed to lions, the greatness of the suffering, those that were killed in a slow manner to make it really one of those executions that would be actual torture for a while until they died. They did that for the cause of Christ. They stayed true. I think of those people in the Middle East that were brought their children before them, said, "Reject Christ or we'll kill your children." Many of them did not reject Christ, and they saw their children killed before their eyes. That's suffering. That's suffering. And the greatness of that suffering will seem so minute in comparison to the greatness of the glory that shall be revealed in us. That's why you stay true to the Word of God. That's why you stay true to it. Even if friends and family turn on you, lie about you, reject you, stay true to the Word of God. And by the way, Satan will definitely try to turn people against you. And if he is, that says you're being effective for the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Keep up. Just keep doing what God's given you to do. And so, be ye therefore not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Even if other Christians or children can't understand why you do it, God's way is always right, and it supersedes even worldly Christians. This is a battle, a war, for the very soul of your children. You heard what Brother Randy said tonight. As I told you, he didn't share the half of what he could tell you. It'd be too filthy to say in here. That trying to drill and indoctrinate to your children. He said, "Well, you know, at least we watch the Disney cartoons." Yeah. Making all those characters trans whatever. Crazy. That's what they're trying to do. That's evil. That's wicked. It's terrible. It's spreading across our country. So many of us are looking for the rapture, and we should be looking for the rapture all the time. But I'm starting to also look for, if God doesn't come, he's going to send judgment on this country, and judgment begins at the house of God. And when these churches have decided, okay, we're going to rock and roll, we're going to let up on their standards, God is going to bring them down. And it's just not making them cease to be a church. It's taking their families out of this world, that they do no more destruction. And when the Lord takes a Christian out of this world before the time, perhaps he's trying to keep them from losing all their rewards. So friend, listen. I said it before and I'll say this again in closing. We had great revivals in the past. Here in this church, we've seen God do things in other places that were amazing. But that former generation is not responsible for today's generation. That's you and I. When you quit things in order for the peace of your family is when you destroy the eternal peace of your family. Stand. Stand. Stay true. Serve the Lord. And never, never, never quit. Never. And I'm asking you, as we sit here tonight, we've seen the effect that men are using today. Their effects have brought an effect. It's destroying homes all across this country, let alone around the world. Their actions. Christians. Moms, dads, grandpas, grandmothers. Perhaps tonight you need to make a total commitment that Satan's not going to get my children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, my friends, my relatives, without a fight to the end. Because I know if I stay true and fight to the end, they may take my life from this earth, but they won't take my soul from heaven and the reward that awaits. Greater than the sufferings of this present time will be the eternal joy of that reward. Do you believe it? Then let's make the commitment to never waver in this battle that's coming strong at you, that may tell you to even speak against the woke, to speak against all that filth. May cost you jail, may cost you your home, may cost you your life. Commit, and stand up for Jesus. Let's bow our heads, please. All right, Father, in a moment we're going to sing this hymn, 475, Living for Jesus. Lord, that's more than a hymn. That's another one of the principles that we've been putting out today. The life has to be dedicated to Jesus as a Christian. So, Lord, I pray, help people just to make decisions that you want them to make. Impress upon their heart. Not a decision that makes them feel good about themselves, but a decision that's a life commitment as a Christian. If there's that one here tonight that does not know that if they died tonight that heaven's their home, may they come and may they receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we would ask this in that name above every name, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.